Got schools back again for, what are we, term two? Or is it three? Anyway, it's amazing when you're not in something, you forget about it so much. Anyway, school is back. That's the point. Holiday's done. And joining us to cover some of the things happening in the world of education is Professor John Fischetti from the University of Newcastle. And John, you have a premise for us today. I'm pretty sure it's term three. That students who generate good questions are better learners. Can you just paint the picture on what this may or may not mean today?
Sure, Mark, and good morning. Yeah, it's term three.
Yeah, I thought so. And I look at the date, I'm like, we're nearly the end of July. It can't be term two. So maybe a maths lesson if you can hook me up with somebody after this.
Well, we'll bring you to the Northern Hemisphere of people listening online. They're going to start term one. So that'll just confuse everybody.
Exactly. Well, they'll be thinking, hang on a minute, what happened to the last couple of months? It's term two. All right, mate, back to our point, though. What do you think?
So, Mark, you remember in school we were taught that if we had an article in front of us or a passage in our textbook, we were taught to get the highlighter out, underline keywords and phrases and sentences, to synthesize those, to really find ways to reread notes and to go back over those notes as part of studying. I mean, that was what I was taught for years, right?
Oh, absolutely. You've got the highlighter out and the special words, the keywords that were all a part of it. You highlighted it and then you closed the book and you moved on.
Right, and the teacher could come around and see that you highlighted it. Maybe you put a little star by the key points, and maybe you wrote that in your notebook. Actually, within a week, nobody remembers those things. And this German researchers have come up with alternative ideas because they've found that students a week after the exam on that stuff don't actually remember what they highlighted, what they wrote down, and the key phrases that they were dealing with anyway. So they've come up with a different approach that seems to be better.
Yeah, I'd believe that. Like you said, you move on from it. So they've looked at that. They've realized that for most, probably not all, but for most, that that's really just a tick and flick exercise. What are they suggesting that might be the answer to this?
So after reading a passage or having a discussion about a key topic or listening to a teacher tell a story or, introduce some new concepts, students write down the questions that they have. And then they work together with each other and the teacher to discover the answers to those questions, which might be back in those paragraphs. So rather than go through the motions of highlighting and going through the repeating of the regurgitation, really put your mind to your questions. So let's say we were learning a concept like neuroplasticity, and we were reading a whole article about it. I could have highlighted all day. But what if I then had to turn and write a synthesis about this with a question about neuroplasticity in dogs or in parrots? Now, all of a sudden, that question means I'm going to go investigate it further. We get long-term learning, and it sticks, basically.
I think the concept you bring into life there, John, when you mentioned a topic and something that most of us have got fairly limited knowledge or any about. Yep. So you've had the discussion, the teacher or whoever's been up front, and they've actually bombarded with the information. At that point, you sort of ask some questions, and then that's when you get that to and fro response, and things start to stick a little bit more.
And because you've asked a question from your own perspective, you own the learning rather than you just going through the motions of showing you're there physically. And the teacher then has the difficulty because each person's questions will be a little different, and therefore it's not as easy to standardize the assessment of that. But the key questions is what this German researchers have found means a month later, 2 months later, 3 months later, the students actually remember that they had that moment in class because they owned it. And then it builds on the learning to the next question or the next concept or the next topic.
Now, I'm going to throw a curveball at you out of this, John, because I think in principle this all sounds pretty good. And I don't know how we get around this, but a lot of times that there is that thing where students feel like, you know what, I don't want to put my hand up and ask the question. If it's wrong or it's appears dumb, I'm going to be that person. So I get that those who are happy to ask will, but so a lot of times, and I'm not sure if this is still very much a thing that needs to be overcome, but a lot of times kids don't want to put their hand up for those reasons.
Well, there's a number of ways you can ask the questions. If you're using older technology, at the end of a class, you can use what's like an exit card where they have to write down two key questions from today and hand those to the teacher. Most schools have now moved to learning portals where they're using one of the major technology firms' tools where they have a notebook and they could write their questions there. Some of them can be broadcast in the class, but it's instead of just showing the teacher you've highlighted, you've actually shown them that you've written some questions, and then you may have to then take those questions and do some research on those questions and come back tomorrow. Maybe that's your homework or maybe that's the next day's activity. So it doesn't have to always be shouting those out in class.
Okay, it's just a way of figuring around how to get the students engaged with the concept of asking questions. And again, there's a, like you said, there's a few different ways to do that. All right, let's finish where we started. Let's see if we can put this into action. So our topic this morning was when a school term start and finish on the student. I'm going to ask the question for you, John. When does term one start for Northern Hemisphere students?
In August or September, depending on which climate zone they're in. So they're about ready to start the next school year, and most of those back after a year away from school because of COVID.
All right. I think I might be able to keep that in my mind for forevermore. If somebody asks me about school terms, I might have a bit of a shot at it. Professor of Education from the University of Newcastle, as always, a pleasure, John Fischetti. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks, Mark.